Welcome to the pulpit ministry of Christ Community Church, a New Testament-based Great Commission Church, which aims to make, mature, and multiply disciples in community, loving God and loving people, expanding the cause and kingdom of Christ through God's Word. And now, let's join our preacher for the message.
So yeah, there was a quick change-up this morning. The scripture and the title doesn't match. I mean, it's just a big mess. I can tell you that right now. Sometimes coming up with a passage of finding, just sensing the Spirit working in us as we prepare for message can be difficult. And the original passage, I just came to the point where I just couldn't, you know, it didn't sit well with me, although it's a fantastic passage. And we're going to be discussing, as we've been discussing worldviews, we're going to be talking about entertainment. A topic that that I was looking forward to preaching on, but as it came and as I struggled through this sermon, I was hoping I hadn't been chosen to pick, you know, to preach the sermon, because it proved to be more difficult than I thought for some reason. I don't know why, but it did. But nonetheless, we will trust the Lord to have done His work in us, and in His that His word is living and true, and it does not return void. So, Mark chapter 6, Pastor Bernie's dying to see how this is going to work into entertainment, and so is Alexis Valdez, who came up to me and told me the same thing. So we're going to begin, as I usually do, with the defining of some terminology. And I love to go into the words and understand them better and see where they come from. Where do we get these words and what do they mean? The word entertainment. So, to begin with, entertain meant to keep up, to maintain. To keep someone in a certain frame of mind. That was 15th century. In the original language, in the French and the Latin, it means, the first part, enter, means among, and the second part, tain, means to hold, or to hold among. The sense of having a guest over didn't come into the late 15th century of that word, and to gratify or amuse did not come up until the 1620s. And the meaning was to allow something to consideration to take into mind. Okay? And then entertainment, per Wikipedia, and Bernie loves when I use Wikipedia to define terminology, but here's what Wikipedia said. Entertainment is a form of activity that holds the attention and interest of an audience or gives pleasure and delight. Tim Challey's real simple, straightforward definition. Entertainment is an enjoyable escape or distraction from normal life. My favorite was Webster's 1828. You can't get any better than good old Noah's, Webster's dictionary. And it says, the pleasure which the mind receives from anything interesting which holds or arrests the attention. The pleasure which the mind receives from anything interesting which holds or arrests the attention. So the other thing, you know, along this line of entertainment is that entertainment has changed quite a bit. And so even looking at Noah's, Webster's definition, you know, there was no mention of movies or even music. It was mostly spoken word and oratories and conversation and debate, that kind of was the world he was living in as far as entertainment was concerned. And so there was a list of entertainment, and here are some of them. Here are some forms of entertainment. Number one, banquets. Maybe not the first thing we think of entertainment, but at one point in history, when folks wanted to entertain, they threw a banquet, right? The kings threw a banquet, and people were invited, and they came, kind of similar to what we're seeing in the scripture passage today. There's music, there's games, there's reading, comedy, performance. And here are some breakdowns of performance. Storytelling. I don't know if you guys know this, but my sister Helga Quiñones is a state champion at storytelling. She won 3 storytelling awards when she was in high school. I'm sure you didn't know that. There's theater, there's cinema and film, there's dance, animals, circus, magic, street performance, parades, fireworks. And as I'm listing those things, you're probably agreeing, yeah, those are forms of entertainment. And there's sports. Most people, some guys will be like, yeah, sports is not entertainment. You know, that's where we go out there and we, you know, but there's also the spectating side. We're just kind of watching the guys do it, and you're being entertained by the sporting event. Samson, in a sense, was brought out for sport for the Philistines. There's also amusement parks like Disney World, Universal Studios. There's fairs. We always go to the Dade County Youth Fair and get our entertainment there. And there's expositions and shopping. So here are some of these forms of entertainment. And none of these entertainments are evil in and of themselves, right? We all agree? I haven't listed anything they're bad, necessarily. They're not evil in and of themselves. In fact, we can find enjoyment in many of these things and feel good about it. Guilt-free enjoyment by having done so. But there's a thing about entertainment that I hope you caught along the way with the definitions of entertainment. And that is that its purpose is to hold our attention or our mind by pleasure and delight. So there's a thing about entertainment that grabs us and holds our attention and gives us pleasure and delight. Now we're going to go into the passage of Mark chapter 6. And here we have the account of Herod throwing his birthday party. And maybe people wouldn't have looked at that as entertainment, but back then, that was the entertainment. And if you look at it, kind of in the context of what we've been talking about so far, there was an opportunity that came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet. And look at this, he invited nobles, military commanders, and leading men of Galilee. And when you would invite somebody over for a banquet, there was always going to be entertainment. The food played a great part of that. There was always going to be some music, there was going to be some dancing, there was going to be something to provide entertainment for your guests. Not much like what we do today. If you go to Chuck E. Cheese with your kids, like Pierre and Francie will begin doing soon, taking their child to Chuck E. Cheese, and then Chuck E. Cheese is going to come out, the animatronics are going to light up, and the kids are going to go sing Chuck E. Cheese song and all that kind of craziness. There's always some kind of party. There's a clown, there's balloons, there's entertainment at a party. So here we have this opportunity. And this is what makes entertainment different than everyday life. Entertainment is an opportunity. It's a break for a moment in time. It's not what we're typically doing. We're typically either sleeping, eating, or working. Those are the things that we mostly fill our 24-hour period day with. Beyond that, we find ways of kind of entertaining ourselves. And then I was thinking, as I was preparing, how entertainment changed in the United States. Before the industrial age, if you were a farmer, you didn't have much time for entertainment. You were in the fields pretty much all day. You came home, you had a meal. Maybe you played the fiddle, read a book, went to sleep, got up early in the morning when the sun came up, and started the process all over again. And the wife had lots of cleaning to do, lots of chores for the children. There really wasn't a lot of time for entertainment. So the way that we think about entertainment has changed and has become more so, has been greater. With industrialism giving us more time, it has given us also more time for entertainment, more time for those opportunities. The other thing that has affected entertainment is technology. More opportunities for entertainment with technology and how technology has increased. It used to be there was a time when you had to go to the movie theater to see a movie. Okay? That was the only place you could go to see it. It was in the movie theater. And then, when I was a kid, they came out with these things called videotapes. And then you could go to the videotape store, which was pre-Blockbuster, and you would rent the videos there, and then you could go home on this VHS that was about this big and weighed about 5,000 pounds. And it didn't have buttons, it had knobs on it to rewind things and everything. And you could watch a movie at home, you could be entertained there. And now, we just carry the movie theater in our pockets. And we can watch a movie whenever we want. So entertainment has become more and more and more accessible with technology, with the industrial age. As time has gone on, there is more time for us to be entertained. And aren't you sure that those people that put out all those films are really happy about that? Because you have more time to be entertained. In fact, as on Charlie's website, Tim Charlie's website, there was kind of like a breakdown. If you wanted to go to the theater in Shakespeare's day, pretty much you had to spend an entire day's wage, a little bit more than that, to pay for the show. So really, who had the money to go to the show except for the rich people? Because the common folk wasn't going to spend a day's wage on a theater play, even though Shakespeare, I'm sure, was really good. And I like Shakespeare. But what's happened is that as time has gone on, entertainment has become more and more accessible to everyone. And in all of those things, our ages and the changes in our age has helped, has given us the opportunities. Just like Herod's birthday only came once a year, it was an opportunity for some entertainment, a break from the usual ruling and the duties of these commanders and leading men. The other thing about entertainment that kind of makes it exciting sometimes is that it's exclusive. Sometimes it can be very exclusive. Sometimes it's not, but here we have a birthday and he has a banquet and there's only certain people who are invited. It's not open to the general public. And sometimes you get to go buy a ticket that gives you an exclusive right to sit in a seat, to go get your fill of entertainment. Sometimes when you don't get invited to the party and you hear there's a party been thrown in the church and all the other kids are going, you feel kind of left out that you weren't invited to the party. You're missing out on something. Entertainment kind of drives inside of us a desire to have that pleasure that all the other people are going to delight in. We're going to miss out in the delight. So there is an aspect of entertainment that is exclusive. It's only for certain people at certain times that get that opportunity, not all people at all times. Although, again, there's plenty of TV to make up for that. That feeling of we're missing out kind of breaks us away from the normal schedule. When our kids were younger, we would videotape them with a big camera with little tape inside. It has a big screen on the back. And as soon as the videotape would, like, as soon as we finished recording, the kids would say, "We see, we see." Yeah, they would say, "We see, we see." So they would want to come and see the video that we had just shot. It was, you know, they wanted it immediately. Everybody feels like they're missing out. When I play a video for one person in my house, everybody crowds around me to see the little video on my phone. That happened at your house at any time? Yeah. Every time you're playing a video on the screen, everybody wants to see it. It's almost like we're like these bugs that the light on the screen turns on. We're like, you know, to the screen. So there is these opportunities that we have. It's also exclusive and it's pleasurable. Entertainment, like we talked about before, it has a purpose. It brings delight and it brings our minds and our attention and holds it. It says in verse 22, "For when Herodias' daughter," which Josephus gives us a name, her name is Salome, "came in and danced," she what? What's it say? She what? She pleased Herod and his guests. So a woman came into a room. She danced for a room full of people. Not sure if there were any other women there. I know there was plenty of men there. And they found pleasure, delight in seeing her dance. You can't help but think that there's some sensual aspect to that. Because for the most part, guys really aren't into ballet too much. But they can be attracted by a woman who is dancing and very delighted by a woman who is dancing sensually is more than likely what's going on here. He found delight in that. So entertainment is pleasurable. It's fun. It pleases our flesh. It pleases our desires. Entertainment provides for that, provides a bit of an escape from the norm, and then satisfies a desire that we all have inside of us to be pleased, to be delighted. But the interesting thing about entertainment that I have found in myself, I would say, is that it dulls the mind. It dulls our thinking. The rest of verse 22 says, "And the king said to the girl," get this, "ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." And you can hear everybody, yes, you did a wonderful job, and she was a fantastic dancer. And he's going to give her half the kingdom. I mean, obviously, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but he's pretty much said, whatever you want. You know, imagine this scene. You know, she's put on a dance, and now she gets to ask for whatever she wants. It dulls our thinking. He's just opened up the door to her to ask for whatever she wants, okay? "And she went out and said to her mother, 'For what should I ask?' and he said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Entertainment has that ability that I kind of mentioned, that it's a bit of a, what I call the hypno beam. Do you parents know what the hypno beam is? When Helga and my sister Hilda and I were raising our kids and they were younger, you know, you're talking about 7 to 8 to 9 children in a house, you know, between the ages of, let's say, 4 and 8, and it's, you know, run amok. They're all running crazy, having a great time, loving on each other, cousins going nuts, making up games. And every once in a while, we would kind of get to a point where we couldn't take it anymore. And we would put in a VeggieTales tape and put it in the video recorder. And that would kind of soothe the children, right? Because as soon as the tape went on, they could be doing whatever. When that tape came on, you know, VeggieTales, Veggie, and Duncan, they'd line up and they're like, wrong. They're in for VeggieTales now. We're gonna break. You know, and to some degree, that video age kind of gave parents the ability to hypnotize their children into sitting and watching a VeggieTales movie or whatever it might be, Disney. I'm not going to say we were only VeggieTales people because we've seen every Disney movie except for maybe Brother Bear or something. But we've seen a lot. But nonetheless, it gave the opportunity to hypnotize them. When I was a kid, when mom got fed up, she kicked you out the door. You know, you went outside to play. Go entertain yourself with a bike ride or skates or go do something. But we kind of fell into this hypno beam. When Kathy and I first got married, I know where the kids get it from, because when Kathy and I first got married, we lived in North Miami Beach, and we would both come home from work, tired, and I would sit down on the couch to kind of veg out, and I would turn on the TV. Kathy would be in the kitchen. We're newlyweds. The wife wants to come home and talk and share everything about her day with her new husband. And I would be sitting on the couch, and she would start talking, wah, 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 wah. And I'm like, I'm on the hypno beam, you know, the news, whatever. And she would come and she would stand in front of the TV. And that would, you know, take the hypno, you know, break the beam. And I would wake up like, whoa. And she's like, I'm talking to you. And I was like, I turn off the TV and she was like, you don't have to turn off the TV. I said, if you want to talk to me, I have to turn off the TV. I can't do both at the same time. The hypno beam has a power I can't overcome. So the hypno beam, or entertainment in general, when we're watching something, it enthralls us, it draws us in, it holds our mind. I would even say TV is one of those stronger ones, and one that most of us have access to, and the one that we mostly avail ourselves to, beyond music, that kind of holds our attention and touches us in places inside that give us delight. The unfortunate thing is that it can end in regret. In verse 26, the king said, it says, and the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oath and his guest, he did not want to break his word to her. You see, his mind wasn't right. He was just enthralled. Woo! The dance was fantastic. His mind is gone. It's captured by this woman's dance and the beauty of it and whatever else is zapped inside of his body. And he makes this stupid statement, I'll give you whatever you want. And then she asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter, which he wasn't a fan of John the Baptist, but he really wasn't looking to chop his head off. So it says that he was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oath, because of his pride, he had to keep his word now. He couldn't take it back. And sometimes when we're kind of being taken away by the entertainment, whatever that may be, we may have found times where we regretted things that we did or and partook of. Have any of you ever said at the end of a movie, that was a total waste of time? Yeah, I have. I worked at the Super Bowl when the Indianapolis Colts were playing against the Chicago Bears. I spent an entire month working from 8 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night for 30 days straight, preparing for the Super Bowl. And pretty much that stadium became a city or a town. We ran phone wire everywhere in that place, so we set up basically a network outside of the stadium. From the stadium, we would feed it outside. We set up a mini city there. These tents, and people would come and do the NFL experience and all this excitement and security. I'm going to tell you, Purple Rain and all, Prince singing Purple Rain and everything, at the end of the game, it was just another football game. That's all it was. They played four quarters. Prince came out. I think the piano man, what's his name? Billy Joel was there. At the end of the day, it was just another game. The game ended and everyone went home. And the city and the mess was left behind. You want to talk about filth? That place was a filth by the time that that entertainment was over. And I thought to myself, I'm glad I got to go in for free. I got paid to be here. Because this, at the end of the day, it was just another football game. It really was just another football game. Sometimes we may wish we hadn't seen or heard some of those things. We may have the regret that what we have partaken of is now kind of lodged in our minds forever. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. There's certain things, certain pictures, certain moods of a movie that stay with you. I remember there was a movie called, I can't remember the name of the movie. Anyway, it was about some serial killer I shouldn't have been seeing anyway. And I remember just feeling this evil kind of, as I'm watching this movie, just this whole evil sense. This guy was just like this ruthless, sick serial killer. And like for months later, I would go into certain places, you know, like a dark men's restroom at TGI Fridays, and I would be like, feeling like this presence, you know, like this evil was with me, was following me, because it just was such a dark and sick and twisted serial killer movie. It was evil. I wish I would never have seen it. What was the purpose of it? And so many of my friends who would always watch, you know, Halloween, who watched Friday the 13th and The Exorcist, I never saw that, thank God. I would have nightmares. I had never even seen the movie, and I would have nightmares about that girl. There are certain things that stick with you that you regret. I wish I would have never put that in my head. I wish I would never put that in my mind. I wish there were some songs I had never, ever learned. But they're in there, and I can recall them faster than I can scripture. You just play the tune, and it's back. And that's why music is a teacher. That's why God says to use psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to admonish one another, because it helps it to stick. So sometimes there's some regret. Cassie and I, for example, huge regret of our lives. You guys, some of you have heard this story. We invested, I don't know, 2-3 years into that dumb show Lost. We were Lost fanatics. We came home every Wednesday. We shut our kids in their rooms. They were not allowed to see the show. And we would say, you guys, to the room! And we would sit down and watch Lost. And we were enthralled by the storytelling. It was fantastic storytelling, fantastic writing. We didn't know where it was going. When that show ended on the last episode, I thought that was the stupidest thing. I was so mad. And that was the last, I said, that's it. Se acabó. I'm never giving my life to a TV show again. And I know that some of you are like that. You got your shows that are recording, you go home, and you gotta watch the TV show. I know that. I was there. I'm not there no more. And I don't want to be there no more. The closest thing, you know, we do watch S.H.I.E.L.D. and we are kind of a little bit addicted to it, but thankfully it comes in waves. It doesn't come all the time. But, you know, there's just some shows by the end of it, you're like, what was that for, man? I spent all them hours, all them days, all them nights for what? For this dumb show that's just teaching this, purgatory kind of life at the end of the, I was just completely disappointed. So sometimes there's this regret that comes from entertainment. You know, that's basically what I've learned in this study and through this passage. And it's really our experience. And I think that the passage kind of picks up on that. It's surprisingly to me because, trust me, I was like, there is no entertainment in the Bible. And I ran around and was like, this is exactly what kind of happens to us. We make really dumb decisions sometimes in the midst of entertainment. And later we live to regret them. So, why are we addressing this issue at CCC? Why is this part of the world view issue? And here's probably the biggest reason, because we are old fuddy-duddies who don't want anyone to have any fun. And none of you are laughing. Okay, that was my laugh. All right. Yeah, it's not because of that. You know, like we said at the beginning, there's plenty of good things, entertainment that we can enjoy as families. But it is because we realize that there is a power in entertainment. It has a power to hold our minds. Don't forget the definition of the word. Don't forget where that word comes from. Because we redefine words. We redefine terminology today. All the time. But it doesn't change the original meaning of the word and what that word really means. It grabs a hold of our minds. It's harder to take every thought captive when our minds are captivated by entertainment. Everyone in this room who's a follower of Christ needs to periodically examine themselves because of this and needs to sift their entertainment through a sieve of God's Word. They need to check, what am I exposing my life to? What entertainment am I bringing into my life, into my home, into my household, into my family's life? Finally, whether you believe in the power and the influence of entertainment, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. It doesn't matter if you believe that entertainment has power or not. There are people who know its power and influence, and they spend a lot of money making sure to draw you into their tent to take a peek and to sell you their wares. So whether you want to believe it or not, entertainment does have the power to hold your mind. In this world, entertainment plays a large role in putting out the world's system and the world's philosophies. One of the scriptures I had thought about coming from was 1 John 2:15-17. I'll give you a second to go there. 1 John 2:15-17. Here's some reasons why we got to pass it through the sieve of God's Word. Why we have to examine what we digest, whether by our eyes or by our ears. Interestingly enough, I was thinking about it this morning, and that iPhones and iPads and tablets and all this stuff has now even delights you even greater if you think about it. They have come up with a way to make you even enjoy touching the screen. So now you're not just using your eye senses and your ear senses, you're also using your touch. You get to interact with this thing. And oftentimes I think that we look like Gollum in the cave with the my precious, and we're passing our fingers over the phone. Oh, my phone, you know. And it kind of looks like that. Kind of looks like my precious. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Very interesting that in this passage from Mark, you see those three things happen. You see those three things that the world has to offer you. The desire of the flesh. These guys got to see a woman dancing sensually before them, and their flesh desired her. The desire of the eyes. Men like to look at women dancing sensually. So they got their eyes satisfied. And the pride of life, Herod sticking his foot in his mouth and making some boastful statement in front of a bunch of people when he can't take it back now. Because he's the king and he can give her whatever he wants. And he takes an innocent man's life for a dance. So you see how even in that little example of entertainment, the world has its way of weaving its desires, its plan for our flesh, its plan for our pride. And our minds being held by it. So how should we think about entertainment? We must look at our choices for entertainment with spiritual eyes. And I'm going to say that we must look at them with spiritual eyes and not adult eyes. The belief that adults are allowed to view and participate in entertainment that is contrary to God's word is a lie. Don't be deceived by the world's rating system. There are some things that are called adult that nobody should be watching. There are a lot of things that are called adult that nobody should be watching. It wasn't intended for adults, anybody else. You know, when my kids and I, we've talked about just TV and what they show, you know, I've said this example and hopefully it won't, anyway, this is the example I tell my kids. Imagine if my wife Cassie came up right now, I asked Cassie to come up here, and we began to kiss passionately in front of all of you in church. Most of you would be embarrassed, and most of you would turn your eyes away from it. But if it's on a movie screen, and there's a couple making out on the movie screen, everybody's watching. There's no shame. There's no turning away. Why is it that in the real world, we don't look on people who are being intimate with each other? But we can on the screen. Why is that? Those people have become, what we were talking about even with abortion, they've become dehumanized. They're not real people. They're just some two-dimensional screenshot. You don't even know, but you get to peek in on them. There's something about entertainment that lets us feed things that we would not normally or naturally have the opportunity to feed, nor would we if we did. I mean, you guys ever been in the public when you see some young couple and they're like really going, and you're like, what's the word? What do you say? Get a room. You know, that's what people, get a room, man. I mean, what are you doing that? This is not, that's something private. But no problem if we go to a movie theater, sit down, and every 150, 200 people, we all participate in this couple and have no, you know, nobody closes their eyes, nobody turns away. I think there's something wrong with that. So I don't believe that spiritual eyes or adult eyes. I don't think that adults, my kids really were the conviction in my life. Thank God for my children. Because of things like Lost. You guys gotta go to the room. Why do they gotta go to the room? If they gotta go to the room, and they can't watch it, why am I watching it? If they are not allowed to watch it, what makes it okay for me to watch it? There's this little song that some of you may have learned. Maybe Faith Rizzo learned this in church when she was little, I'm not sure. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. And oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. And then this is the chorus that will kind of end it, a little phrase. For the Father up above, He's looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, hands, or feet, what you see or what you do. And when I hear that song, I always think, why is it the little eyes and the little feet and the little hands that I gotta watch where they're going and what they're doing? Why is it the little ones, but not the big ones? Not us? Not the grown people? We can handle it. We got this, right? We can handle what the world has to offer us. I'm gonna share this story with you. A few months, this is not my story, before I was born, my dad met a stranger who was new to our small town in Tennessee. From the beginning, Dad was fascinated with this enchanting newcomer and soon invited him to live with our family. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around to welcome me into the world a few months later. As I grew up, I never questioned his place in our family. Mom taught me to love the Word of God. Dad taught me to obey it. But the stranger was our storyteller. He could weave the most fascinating tales, adventures, mysteries, and comedies were daily conversations. He could hold our whole family spellbound for hours each evening. He was like a friend to the whole family. He took Dad, Bill, and me to our first Major League Baseball game. He was always encouraging us to see the movies and even made arrangements to introduce us to several movie stars. The stranger was incessant and an incessant talker. Dad didn't seem to mind, but sometimes Mom would quietly get up and, while the rest of us were enthralled with one of our stories, from faraway places, she would go to her room and read her Bible and pray. I wonder if she ever prayed that the stranger would leave. You see, my dad ruled over our household with certain moral convictions, but this stranger never felt an obligation to honor them. Profanity, for example, was not allowed in our house, not from us, not from our friends or adults. Our longtime visitor, however, used occasional four-letter words that burned my ears and made my dad squirm. To my knowledge, the stranger was never confronted. My dad was a teetotaler who didn't permit alcohol in his home, not even for cooking. But the stranger felt the need to needed exposure and enlightened us to the ways of life. He offered us beer and other alcoholic beverages often. He made cigarettes look tasty, cigars manly, and pipes distinguished. He talked freely. too much, too freely about sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive, and generally embarrassing. I know now that my early concepts of the man-woman relationship were influenced by the stranger. As I look back, I believe it was the grace of God that the stranger did not influence us more. Time after time, he opposed the values of my parents, yet he was seldom rebuked and never asked to leave. More than 30 years have passed since the stranger moved in with our family on Morningside Drive. But if I were to walk into my parents' den today, you would see him sitting in a corner, waiting for someone to listen to him talk and watch him draw his pictures. His name, we always called him TV. It's incredible how much we, through entertainment, allow into our lives and allow into the lives of our children and into our home. Someone described television as a pipe that you open up and the sewer just flows into your house. In Ephesians 4:17, it says, "Now this I say and testify to the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous." Interesting word there. "And have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned from Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." I think that our struggle to put off our before Christ entertainment choices are telling of the power of entertainment and what it has on us and the connection that we make with entertainment and how it grabs a hold of us and delights us. Is the entertainment that you're choosing feeding the desires of your flesh, your children's flesh, or your spouse's flesh? Does the entertainment that you are choosing invite you to lust after those who are the players in the entertainment? Does the entertainment you are choosing boast of the greatness of man's mind, power, sexuality, and independence of freedom from God? I think that that's really what we find most of the time today. We find that the worldview and what the world thinks, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh is what we find in entertainment and makes up the majority of it. Maybe it wasn't always that way. Maybe there was a time when the church had more influence and it wasn't that way. When Ricky and Lucy Ricardo slept in separate beds. When you weren't allowed to say the word pregnant on television. Because a little child might ask, "What's pregnant?" And that might lead to another conversation. So times have changed and the world's worldview has come out more and more into entertainment. And entertainment has grown larger and larger and larger and more influential than ever before. So what are we to do? Is there such a thing as good entertainment? And thankfully, Pastor Bernie led me to plenty of scriptures, and this is a great one for us to contemplate as what is good entertainment. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." These are the things that we are encouraged to entertain our mind with, to let grab hold of our mind. Good and wholesome, honorable things. Commendable things. One of the things that was in there as a list of entertainment was just going out to watch animals, which I never thought about. Maybe bird watching. I don't know. I thought about it this morning as I was shaving. I get pleasure out of watching the birds kind of going through the trees and doing what they do, attacking each other and gathering food and building nests. There's a kind of a sense of awe, reminding us of God. So there's ways to think upon better things. There's even good entertainment out there that uplifts versus bringing us down into the pit, into the mindset of the world. So do your entertainment choices help you to this end? Do they help you to find peace and joy, satisfaction? Do they lead you to that place? Where are your entertainment choices leading you? And I'm going to close with this passage, which was supposed to be the passage we were going to preach from, just because there's a very interesting thing that Jesus says about the eye there, because it's our duty to guard our entry points. Entertainment comes into our being, into ourselves, most of the time through our eyes, lots of times eyes and ears. So to guard those entry points. In Luke 11, verse 33, it says, "No one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that the one who enters may see the light." And listen to what Jesus says. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful. He gives us a warning. Be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Be careful that you don't think that you're in the light, that you're taking in light, but you're actually taking in darkness. It's actually not light. It's actually darkness you're taking in. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. And I was just contemplating that thought, you know, like our eyes are the lamps, and it's not lighting out, it's lighting in. How much light are you allowing into your life? How much of that light is being darkened by your eyes? So to close, I have a few questions for you to consider beyond the ones that I've already given you. And here are the questions that I have for you. Is entertainment the world's counterfeit for resting in the Lord? The more I went through this and just thought about what it means to delight and find pleasure in taking something in, have we, because of our open opportunities, because we have more opportunities today, even more opportunities than when the scripture was written, more opportunities for entertainment, have we opened up the door for less time with the Lord and more time with entertaining ourselves? Brother Alex brought us a little sheet about a year and a half, to the men's shepherd group. And we listed out our daily activity, what we do on a daily basis. On there was Bible reading and prayer, work, sleep, eating, you know, those things that we, most of us do. And then kind of how many hours did that take up of your 24-hour day? And then how much hours do you have left? And what are you doing with those hours? Maybe that's a good place to start. Write down what you're filling your time with. But entertainment has a way of filling it, whether it's playing a video game on your phone, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Pinterest, one of my wife's favorite things. You know, there's always something that we go to fill our time with. And I think that entertainment has begun or is the counterfeit. It brings us delight. It brings us pleasure. And we don't even know how to undo it. Maybe we can figure that out together, how to undo so much delighting in entertainment and maybe find ways to delight in the Lord more. You know, we say we don't have time to pray. We say we don't have time to read the Word. If you were to write down how many hours you spend on a day doing the different things you do, you probably would find out that you have time to read the Word. You have time to pray. You have time to minister to others and to the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Is entertainment keeping you from the word of prayer? That's the other question I just asked him. And then that last question, is entertainment keeping you for the work that God's designed for you? In Ephesians, it says that God has work for us to do. That He actually has things for you to do and for me to do. He's actually pre-planned them. He has things for you to work on a daily basis in the kingdom, to bless others, to bring the gospel, to serve, to love, to teach, to encourage. He has work for you to do. Everyone in here who's a believer in Christ, a follower of Christ, If you've been born again, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good deeds. He prepared them for us to do. Are we missing out on what God has for us to do by filling our lives with entertainment because it brings delight to us? And are we missing out an eternal delight? Eternal rewards. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your truth. Oh, Lord, every one of us in this room, Father.
Christ Community Church is a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting, and Bible-saturated body of believers who love God and love people by making disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information on our ministry, go to our website at www.christcomchurch.org. That's Christcom, church.org.